Well, just over a week ago, members of the Comrades Marathon Association got together in Pietermaritzburg to address major issues that had been going on there, allegations of corruption and worse. Well, it appeared as though things had been sorted out at that special general meeting, but what's happened subsequent to that has been quite astonishing. We meet up now with Barry Holland, who's a true veteran of the Comrades Marathon. Barry, just for background, how many times have you run the race?
Hi, Alec, and hi to the listeners. 49 medals now. Very unfortunately, I went for my 50th this year. I would have been the first person in history to get to 50. But yeah, I had a major problem with my knee, had an operation, which was okay, but yeah, won't go into the long story of that. But yeah, and I didn't make it. I failed the only comrades I've ever got out. I ran my first one in 1973. And so up until this year, I'd run 49 consecutive comrades. But I'll be back next year. I've just had a full knee replacement, and I'll be back next year to run the 50th.
They say anybody who runs the Comrades has got to be crazy. If you run 49 of them, what does that make you?
Well, yeah, go and look in the mirror and you see there's just stupid written on your forehead. Yeah, so it's a love thing, you know, it's a passion.
Why do you keep going back?
You know, you start out on this road, and Comrades has got this incredible magic about it. It's got a mystique because it is, I suppose, because it's so hard. I think in its very, very nature of its enormous hardness, shall we call it, it's the greatest road race in the world. But it's just not like any other race. I mean, there's no if you contemplate races overseas, and there's lots of races harder than Comrades, but they've got tiny fields of 300 or 400 people. You know, an ultra marathon as hard as Comrades over the course it runs over the hills, etc., and the distance of 90 kilometers. And a field of 20,000, and just nowhere in the world, nothing compares. So there's that great mystique about, and you know, now you're coming up for the 100th Comrades very shortly in 2 years' time. That adds more to the mystique as well. I mean, this is a race that's one of the oldest races in the world, in fact. So I think what happens with runners is that you go out there, you run, perhaps you see that you've got a bit of talent, your club members around you, you're a complete novice, you don't know what you're doing, but they say, well, gee, you've got a bit of talent maybe, so you must try a bit harder, you must train a bit harder, take some advice, whatever. And then you try and improve your time. So, and as you chase times, slow, you know, the years just tick by, I think. You know, you just add another one, another one, another one. Because most runners are never satisfied with their PB, their personal best. They want more, and you'd be amazed how quickly the time does go. I was a very slow learner. I was a bit dwarf at school, so it took me 19 years to run my fastest comrades. So took care of my double green virtually. And then after that, you know, I'll be honest with you, I just love my running so much. I love the camaraderie of running, love getting out in the morning and running with the guys and the banter and stuff like that. And, you know, the years just go by, and then there's another, you suddenly heading for 30 and then suddenly heading for 40. And once I got past 40, you know, yeah, it started to get quite a lot harder. But I suppose the lure of what had never been done, the 50, was there. It was just like something on the horizon. Could it be done? Yeah, and now we're heading for it. It does get you. It gets in your blood.
Can you just take us through what's been happening and indeed bring us up to date on the developments since the special general meeting?
Yeah, so as you rightly said in your intro, post the SGA, we thought we'd made some giant steps forward. We got rid of the one real bad apple on the CMA board, the proven racist. After that, the KZN Athletics, Stephen Carsey, the president, he tried to passed a resolution within his own board of KZN Athletics to say that was prior to the SGM, that people couldn't from outside of the province vote. They could attend the meeting, but they couldn't vote, had no voting rights, which was just nonsensical. When you look at the profile of comrades, at least 60% of the field is from outside of the province. So you're automatically saying, so to 60% of your people, your runners, can't be members of the CMA. How can that make sense at all? It just doesn't. How do you pick some individuals? How do you say Bruce Fordyce, nine-time winner, can't be a member of the CMA? Bruce lives in Joburg. You know, so, I mean, it's just, you know, Vitsi van der Westhuizen is in 45 comrades. He lives in Cape Town. You know, Louis Messain, the same guy, 49 medals like me. We go for 50 together next year. He lives in George. How do you say that these people can't be members of the CMA? They are comrades. They're not legal. He lost the case in the High Court, and that was, as I said, just prior to the SGM. And since that, Steve's not letting this thing go. And there's just been such rankling and rankling. And the chairman of the Comrades Marathon Association, Mkhudisi Nkobo, and the vice chair, Les Bernard, are two fantastic guys. Absolutely fantastic. Highest integrity you could ask. Just amazing. And they've just been just under incredible pressure. They put pressure has just not stopped on them. And that just finally was just too much for them. And they both resigned. And that's now really started to sort of almost, you know how these things multiply, they suddenly almost get a life of their own. And then two more board members resigned as well. And now that left the board virtually down at half its strength. And of course now what we're really fighting with is where's the future of the CMA at the moment? So we're actually right now appealing to the chair and the vice chair to maybe review their decisions and hold on until the AGM in November so that if they reviewed their decisions, that would bring a little bit of calmness to the waters. They could co-opt on some new members, and then that board could survive until the AGM. And you must remember now, the most important, I think, resolution that we passed at that SGM was that from November, from the AGM, all general meetings would now be open virtually. It would be held in presence, in person, but there will be virtual attendance and virtual voting from wherever you are in the world, for that matter. And that will now completely change the voting landscape. It'll do away with the alleged buying of votes. Well, we don't think it's alleged. We know it's true. And that'll take that factor out. And it'll level the playing field, you know, very, very much so, to get back on board a whole bunch of people that have got integrity and the heart of comrades in their hearts. That's what we need.
If the chairman and the vice chairman do not withdraw their resignations, what happens then?
The bottom line to this thing, Alec, is that we have to find a solution, no matter what it takes, how much time it costs. You know, we've got enough passion in the group to make something happen. There's a number of irons in the fire, shall we say. It has to be done because we cannot let the CMA collapse like this. It's just not even viable. You know?
Barry, if you were on the phone right now with Gayton McKenzie, the new Minister of Sport, what would you be asking him to do?
I'd be saying to Gayton, Mr. Minister, how soon can I get into your office? How soon can you give me an appointment? I'm on a plane to Cape Town as soon as I get out of this damn hospital bed. And I'm going to come and tell you what's going on, because there has been Linda Barrett, been in contact with him, and he had a beautiful, quick reply back to her. I will not let the comrades, nothing happen to this comrades.
So his heart is in the right place from what?
Oh, there's no doubt. No shadow of a doubt. Oh, no shadow of a doubt. And, you know, I think what we've already seen with the minister is he doesn't suffer fools gladly, and he takes action quickly. He just doesn't stand in the way and stand and wait on ceremony. So I think that and I tell you, Bruce Fordyce has also got quite a good in to him. So that's another pressure point that can come from our side as well. But I would love to have a chat with him. I'd love to give him if he gave me an appointment half an hour in his office, I would outline a picture for him and ask him to try and fix it, you know, because he's got the power to fix it from above, obviously.
So what would you say to him in that half hour?
I would say to him that Minister, the CMA board has been rotten. It's rotten with maladministration, corruption, racism, okay? And the biggest thing of the lot has been maladministration. You've got people in there that are there for the glory of the job, or I'm not quite sure what they get out of it, but they don't do a hell of a lot for comrades. They really don't, you know? I think most of it's just the kind of the glory of the job. I'm on the CMA board. I'm a CMA board member. And oh, come on, you know, I want 9 people on that board that are working passionately to make this race better and better, not necessarily bigger. Now, there's all kind of talk about them wanting 35,000 people for the 100th run. I don't know that that's even practical. I don't even know that it's desirable. I'd rather see the 100th run be the best comrades ever. Absolute, give the runner the greatest possible running experience. That would be a win for me, as opposed to just having it big for the sake of being big. The 35,000, by the way, ties back to the fact that on the first comrades in 1921, there were 35 runners. So that's the correlation back to the 35,000. But I don't particularly see a huge value in that, I'll be honest. You know, again, personal opinion. I'm not sure that even with innovations like rolling starts and things like that, called wave starts, I don't know that road, that R103, can take 35,000 people. You know, it's already chaos on that road with 20,000, and you know, you're almost doubling that, and I don't know that it's practical. Going back to the minister, I honestly think that he has the power to cut through all the bullshit, because he cuts through the bullshit and works it from the top. He comes down straight through the ASA, straight through to KZ, straight through to the CMA, and says, guys, right, let's fix it. He's got the power to come and say, I'm firing the whole board right now. I want an interim board in place by next week. You know, I'm just talking off the top of my head here, but I know he's got that kind of enthusiasm, and I think he's got that kind of power, you know.
What's confusing me a little bit here is you saying fire the whole board, but on the other hand, there is a call to bring back the chairman and the vice chairman who've just stepped down.
So you know, if you fired the whole board, what you'd be doing is you'd be getting rid of all the bad blood there. All the bad blood. But within getting that, you'd be actually getting rid of some of the good guys. Remember, the two biggest good guys that don't want to be there. They're tired. They've had enough. They've had enough abuse. If they come back only for the love, again, for the passion, but they don't really want to be there. So I'd be, if we took it that route, and if the minister said get rid of the board, that would protect those guys. They could go off into the sunset quite happily. It would then get rid of the bad guys. We could retain, onto the interim board, you could pull back in the people that we believe are passionate about comrades and are doing a good job, and add in the rest of what's needed. And then you would have a board that would at least take the CMA through to the AGM in good standing and in good thought. And the planning for 2025 needs to start right now. We don't have a race director for next year. We're sitting in August. Major international marathons have been planning for their 2025 race already for the last six, 9 months. They've been in the whole full planning phase. We haven't even started yet. So we're behind already. So there's great urgency to this, and that's why we need to have a settled board that's not long got any infighting and people with hidden agendas and all that kind of thing. A settled board that just takes the comrades smoothly through to the AGM, where we have a proper and full and fair election like normal. But in the meantime, the new race director can be sourced, you know, interviews sought, interviews have taken place, recommendations made, and the new RD can come in. And in those settled waters, if we get settled waters, and all this political wrangling and everything has gone away, then we're fairly confident that Anne Ashworth may come back. And that would be a coup, because she did an incredible job this year. Absolutely amazing. Best comrades in years and years and years. And she should be at their home. She should be at their home, definitely.
And just for those who haven't been following the story, what happened with Anne Ashworth?
It's a bit convoluted, because she had a year contract and then she was offered a 3-month extension, which she didn't accept. And then she later went back and accepted it. But they said to her, no, no, no. Again, this was Stephen Carsey. He said to her, no, he's the lawyer on the board, said, no, you've already not accepted it, so you now can't accept something that you don't have. It's not on the table anymore. And so she was, in other terms, you could say she was basically fired. And so there's huge bad blood between Anne and the board, and especially Stephen Causey. So, but the fact remains is that Anne did a fantastic job. And all of these things for the betterment of comrades should be put aside. Let's put aside the political agendas. Let's put all this aside. You know, what are we fighting for here? What's everybody fighting? Fighting for comrades, not for your own little fiefdom or your this or that. If you're not on board to look after the best interests of comrades, then get off. Get off the board. You know, we don't want you there.
Why wasn't all of this dealt with at the special general meeting? You had many people who'd come from all over the country to address it. You would have thought that would have now been all behind us.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's obviously strict rules in place for meetings like that. So the SGM was called on the basis of, I think there were four resolutions that had to be passed, wanted to be passed. And so it's not open to general discussion of any other nature. It's not in the gambit of the meeting and not allowed. You can't just open up to the floor to say, well, let's talk about Anne Ashworth. There would have been a resounding vote in favor of Anne if there was a resolution to reinstate her tomorrow, for example. But that wasn't one of the – she had a matter between the CMA and herself at the CCMA, and that was settled out of court eventually. So it was not something that could be put onto that agenda or discussed. The guy that worked very, very closely with our group, Advocate Cass Pretoria, so he was, in fact, wouldn't have been able to really participate at that SGM had that matter not been settled. But it had been settled, so he was then able to quite happily participate. But yeah, so you, unfortunately, you can't just bring and air all these things because the SGM has a set agenda.
So if I understand correctly, the SGM had its agenda. It was strongly voted in, the most important part being that you can have the next annual general meeting or any other special general meeting online, so people from all over the country can vote. That means that you can't be bussing in people to get through resolutions that are not really in the majority interest. And as a consequence of that, it's one step along the road, but it almost seems like the bad guys, put it that way, are digging their heels in and saying, no, we won't go. We are going to have this final pitched battle ahead of November, where surely at that annual general meeting, things will go in a very different direction, certainly not one that they would want to go in. Am I reading all of this correctly?
Maybe to just boil it down, is that we will get back at the AGM to be having a vote which is normal, which is not skewed by the buying of votes and the bussing in of people that know nothing about comrades, and their membership of the CMA is paid, and they get a meal and a cold drink and a whatever, and they vote, they're told what to vote for. So you know, we're just ruling that out and getting this back to normal. Normality. Normal people. We don't have. You couldn't conceive of your estate where you live having its AGM and having somebody having bought a block of 50 votes by paying somebody's levies or something like that. You wouldn't conceive of something like that. So all I'm hoping for, I know it's going to happen, is when we get to the AGM, we're going to get back to some normality. Guys, here's an item on the agenda. This is what we're voting on. Yes or no, and if the resolution carries proper merit like it would normally do, then it'll get voted in. If it's rubbish, it'll get voted out. You know, and that's we're not trying to rig things either. Either way, we just want normality back. You know, we have no other agenda other than, let's say, normality.
So the next 3 months, you would like to have sensible people in control, running it, maybe just keeping this ship steady until a change can be made in November at the AGM and a competent race director appointed, so that the Comrades next year can be as successful as it was this year.
Absolutely. Beautiful summary. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Barry Holland, veteran, 49 times Comrades Marathon finisher. And I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.